This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
Hello, everybody. I have another podcast for you to listen to. On this podcast is my friend and yours, Rhea Butcher. Listen up.
Hello, I'm here with Rhea Butcher. Rhea, what's up?
What's up, Sabrina?
We're starting out with a goody-goody tip right off the bat. Uh-huh. Speaking of bats, what's your podcast called?
It's Three Swings.
Three Swings. Yeah, just wanted to point out that was... That was...
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
Ooh, that was a little too loud. Okay, so what's the tip?
Okay, so we were discussing that we both have earwax.
Yeah. Well, like sometimes Shauna will look in my ear and be like disgusted. Sure. And I'm like, what? Do you think that I can see over there?
Can't.
You're the only person. This is your problem.
This is your place.
This is your maintenance.
Every time I go to a doctor and it's a new one, they're always like, whoa, you have a lot of earwax in there. And they're always like, you should try Debrox. And so that's what I was telling you to try, which is like an earwax removal.
I like to think
aid.
That the person that,
named Deb.
Yeah. And she, it's like an O'Doyle rules
rocks!
Kind of thing. I'm like, Debrox. I knew I'd think
Forget
of a business.
All this earwax out of your ears. But the first time I used it, so you put it in your ear and you can like hear the solution, like, activates when it touches the wax, kind of. So it's like,
ooh,
yeah, it sounds
too
like that.
Loud.
Sounds like that. Also, I just want to make a joke about the fact that like there's all this yard maintenance in the background. We sound like we're in an L Word episode.
I know. I keep it real.
I used to watch that show.
Was that always?
Friends and I would be like, why someone is always mowing the
is
lawn?
Is that
like,
what's happening?
Every time Jenny would be talking in the house, there's like, if it's daytime, there's lawnmowers going off, and I was like, "This is absolutely." Then I moved here, and I was like, "Oh, that's
oh
super
yeah."
Accurate.
There was no way for them to shoot anything
it's
outdoor without
accurate.
Having. I
but
know.
But they shot it in Canada, so they looped it in. It
was, shout out to Lazaro, who's doing the yard next door, and he might even come on over to my yard.
He should come.
Don't
over.
Think I wasn't trembling at that thought.
Uh huh. So, Debrox.
Debrox.
You put that in.
Put
it starts to like.
And when you say
clunk,
put that, what is it?
The Debrox is like a solution.
It's the rock? It's a solution.
It's a solution, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a chemical. It's a liquid. You put it in there. You like rest your head sideways so it can do its magic. And then you take one of those ear bulb things, the little blue, like you probably have one for Wolfie.
Yes, totally.
To get all that stuff. And you take some, my bad, warm water. And spray it in there with that guy, and then the earwax will come out into the. I do it into a bowl so that I can inspect it because I feel like a, you know, like an earwax miner.
And
so
what comes? What are the things that you see?
Well, usually it's just like a kind of a flake of or a piece, you know, like it's very. But I will say that the first time I ever did it, I was living in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was like, I put it in there. I let it. I like set timers. I used the ear bulb thing, and I was like. Nothing is coming out. Like, I mean, I felt like I did it for an hour, but it was probably only like 3 minutes. And then I was like, all right, just one more, you know, and I sprayed it in there and then I like felt it. And then I looked in the mirror and a coil of earwax had unfurled so long that it was touching my shoulder. And my girlfriend at the time was like,
a coil of earwax touched your shoulder.
Unfurled.
What does that mean? Like
so
one of those.
Imagine a slinky and then it stretched out.
Oh,
like straight.
My God.
Like a streamer.
But how did your ear form that coil?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
I think there's probably a market for like a witch who Debrocks people's ears, definitely. Empties out their ears, and then tells you like what it means. Like, ooh, sure. A coil. You're sages it, gonna be. And then, you're gonna be going down some stairs soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're gonna work through your trauma.
Okay, speaking of work through your trauma. Mm-hmm. How many traumas do you have?
How many traumas do I?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's only one, right? Like, I feel
one trauma.
Like, well, no, I mean, I think you just have a basic essential trauma. And then everything sort of magnetizes around that, and it's like getting back to that original one, you know?
Lessons!
I haven't heard this theory of one trauma and everything goes back to the one trauma.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's been my experience. I don't mean everybody's like that, but...
Well, like, it's the... It's the core thing that you like, if it's like insecurity, or is it like that? Is it or is it like the one thing that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the time. For me, it's like not one event,
yes.
You know, necessarily early on at like age 4, because I feel like age 4 is where you start to like develop a sense of self that you are a person.
I was trying to think of like my earliest memory. I feel like it's probably around 4.
And I mean, you have a child, so you're like watching that get closer. Right,
I'm watching that child get closer.
He knows what his name is, and he knows it. But it's like once you really go, like, I'm me. They're them. This is
He's actually just recently started being like me.
Yeah,
and this
cute,
like the line read on me is like me. Mm-hmm. It is like he has unfurled the earwax coil of what it is to be. What it is to be.
Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, like that stuff that was sort of going on. Like for me, I'm just realizing like how much my parents' divorce affected me. Cause like that happened when I was I don't know all the details of it, but they separated after I was born. So I never knew them as
like the first
parents.
Year.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And then
were they together for a long time before?
Through 3 years. They were married for 3 years.
Oh wow.
So, and they had dated, been seeing each other before that, you know?
Yeah.
So like probably five, somewhere around there.
And you have a relationship with both of them?
Each of them. I do.
Okay, so it happened so early, so you were like, oh, that can't have any effect. But now when you think about it,
when I go back, because I've had like this very specific type of insomnia my whole life. Like I wake up an hour after I fall asleep, kind of no matter what.
Whoa.
And I wake up very it's like full of dread.
What?
And that can take different...
Silence, Earthling!
It can take many different forms. You know, sometimes it's not like...
1 hour after every sleep full of dread?
Mm-hmm.
My baby!
Have you ever... Like, I have these, like, circles under my eyes. I straight up think it's because of that.
Whoa.
But, it, like, have you... I recently rewatched Pulp Fiction. It's like when Bruce Willis wakes up and the, like, fight bell goes, but he's, like, in the hotel and he's like, ah! Like, sometimes it's like that.
Oh my gosh.
It's that serious. But sometimes it's like, bah! I just wake up. And then, like, last night, I actually had a pretty good experience with myself of, like, talking to myself through the thing and being like, what do you think's going on?
Oh, my God.
Which I never have done in my life.
Yeah.
Usually I wake up and think, like, my car's unlocked, the door's unlocked, you know, like, all this stuff that's, like, kind of irrelevant, you know? But it's, like, a thing that my brain grabs onto to, like, push that sort of emotion onto.
Yes.
To wake me up.
Yes. So, but this time you had this other level experience where you're, like, I'm gonna...
Yeah, I was, like, parenting myself.
Yeah, that's
being nice to myself.
Yeah. And did it... You were able to, like, go back into slumber easier
because
of that?
Yeah, I went back to bed quicker. And, like, I had some thoughts about what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I at least was, like, thinking about it in a, like, a constructive and positive way and not just a, like...
Panic.
God damn it, this happened again. You know, because, like, that was kind of what it was. Which is just punishing yourself for something you can't really...
Yeah.
But you don't realize that you're doing that because you're like, this is productive. If I'm mad at it, this will be productive.
Uh-huh.
And you realize like, oh,
there's
getting
so much
mad at stuff isn't productive at all.
Once you start getting into your brain and the way it works, you said you're in therapy and I'm in therapy and everyone should be in therapy.
Sure. Some kind of therapy.
Some kind of therapy.
And physical therapy too. And that's helping a lot.
Just the first, the f- the first level of just saying I'm not perfect the way that I think is not perfect.
Yeah.
That I think is like the cost of doing business to start.
Oh, totally.
Thinking about what works and what doesn't work. And
yeah, you're right. I mean, also just like the willingness to talk about anything.
Yeah. I had Freckle. Do you know Freckle? Jason, really cool artist. Actor.
If I don't, then I should.
Then you should. And so she was my last guest, and she was talking about she was in rehab in March, and mm-hmm. one of the like the lessons was like the big takeaways was like just not feeling so guilty about the times that she wasn't able to show up. Just back at those things and not being like full of regret, because it's like that's just part of your story.
Yeah, you have to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Like truly.
Yeah, and it's like it. I mean, the first thing that I think of is like just. When I said that is of like relating to it was just like maybe in high school thinking of like mm-hmm. just like the way you would drag yourself over the coals over the way you said hello to someone
And then play it out for the rest of your life.
Yes. Yeah.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Do
it's
you
real.
I mean, I imagine you're in like some kind of transitional space where you are starting like this is a new thing that you're starting to look at yourself as like it is weird because it's like it is kind of like I when Shauna and I talk about commiserate on something that we're working through, we'll now always go to like how would you want Wolfie to feel if Wolfie felt insecure about this? You would never be, and you would see it from the outside and you'd be like, dude, this is just part of the.
But that's the whole thing is like it's truly it, and it sounds so like new agey and la-di-da or whatever, but that's just like cynicism keeping you from helping yourself, or at least in my case. I've realized how much cynicism kept me from like living my own life.
Yes.
A lot. But it's like, it's true. Like you have to,
or even like falling into emotion, cynicism. I think I was raised with a lot of skepticism and cynicism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's like the brand for me was like daughter of immigrants is what I say a lot, but it's this thing of, I mean, neither of my parents' religions, they didn't match.
And do you mind if I ask what those are?
You're disgusting to me.
You are an idiot.
No, that wasn't the right one.
You are one pathetic loser.
That's
you are one pathetic loser. Yeah,
that was kind of like the montage of like what you shouldn't feel about yourself in those moments.
Yep.
My father is Muslim and my mother, I guess Christian, like Swiss, like white people's religion. I was so disconnected from
white people religion. White people is religion. Like a category that we don't really discuss.
Well, it was like
specificity of white people religion.
White people religion.
Yeah. Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah, her religion was Christmas. And like in them getting together, they were like the original lesbians. Like it was like very, why are they holding hands? And with that, they kind of walked away. I think I was raised with this. The view on religion was sort of like, you know, there's good things about it, but like certainly it seems culty.
Sure.
So make your decisions. Yeah. But
that's cool.
Which I think is
and they're
a good
both practicing.
No.
Okay.
Not practicing. They're both sort of like, you guys are cuckoo for practicing.
Oh yeah. Got it.
But now with Wolfie being born and just like also my wife loves crystals, it's, you know, there's like, I like approached my wife loving crystals with the skepticism of like, I'm not getting into any cults, but then there's also just magic and you start to think about, the magic of the world and wanting to be connected to it.
And it's
meditation
all the same
is like similar to prayer and
yeah.
So, I just went on this monologue to prove that I can say a couple of paragraphs at once. I forgot where we jumped up.
I mean, no, I don't remember either, but we'll figure it out and it doesn't really matter.
We'll
but
fix it in post. We'll figure
it
out
in post.
I mean, like you guys know what we were talking
about
before.
Everybody's following along exactly where they need to be. I mean, I was very like skeptical of, I was skeptical of everything. Like my first thought
skepticism,
on everything was just like, meh. You know what I mean? Like whether I voiced it or not.
Which is a funny comic. That's like a very, that's like a classic comic, viewpoint.
Yeah, and to be totally honest, like even recently I was having a really hard time doing stand-up comedy because I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have anything to say, and then like, you know, it was like
I'm happy.
It was a weird because so it took some time and it's still taking some time to understand like how that thought comes out then, you know, because if you're not like commenting on the thing, you know, it's like this isn't, But I mean, I have like crystals in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I look at them as, like, when I was a kid, I loved collecting rocks. Like, I just loved, I just picked them up all the time, and they meant something to me. Like, I picked them up, I thought they were cool, I'd give them to people, I had them in my house. And then I started doing that recently. Like, when I would go places, I would just, like, grab a rock if it, like, struck me, you know?
I literally just took 5 rocks out of my backpack and put them on the mantle, because I was traveling last week, and I was like, I can't be just taking rocks out of the country and just to bring, like, them back in the country.
The same shit, you know? Yeah. It's all the same shit. And, like,
yeah.
I always think about, and I've been trying to form this joke, so this is, whatever, it doesn't matter.
This is the perfect
Comedy Central's listening to this, right? I mean, it's funny that people are, like, skeptical of crystals, and yet we still buy, like, diamond rings. Like, that's a crystal. It's a crystal. These are all just rocks.
Yes.
Crystals are just, like, another word for the same thing, which is a rock. And, like, it's whatever you put into the thing.
Uh-huh.
And what it means to you, which is
it becomes like an affirmation.
Yeah. And it's the same as like spirituality. Like, it's whatever you put into the thing.
Everything is the secret is the same as prayer, is the same as having a rock that reminds you to be open.
Yeah. And it doesn't,
I guess,
like,
we solved the whole world.
My rock doesn't have to be your rock. Like, it doesn't mean the same. Like, but if I have,
I'd,
like,
prefer if your rock was my rock.
Yeah, well, this land is my land. This land is mostly mine. But, okay. I mean, like, if I give you one and it means something to me, then you can,
yes,
that, you know, but it's never going to be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a belief system.
So you're also a skeptic turned crystal owner.
Yeah.
And skepticism is hard for stand or basically just changing in any way, softening becomes, I guess, an adjustment for stand up.
Yeah. I think it's a very large adjustment, because you're like, my edge or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I know, I was worried about that before I tried doing like an ayahuasca journey. Cause I was like, my observations are my gold, baby. My trauma's my gold. My baggage is my gold. My problems are my destiny.
What's up, but boy? Yeah, but I somebody said this to me, and I guess this is what I try to keep in mind, that I think about all the time, that you have to open yourself to the possibility that there might be something good on the other side. It's very simple, and it doesn't mean everything's going to work out just great.
Yeah,
it literally means just open yourself to the possibility that there might be something good on the other side.
Yes.
And like, it might not even be stand up. You know what I mean? Like, it might be something else.
I don't
even know what it is, but the act of opening myself to the possibility is the thing. That's the thing.
Yes.
It's not, the goal is not the thing.
When did the shift happen for you?
I mean, it's been happening. I don't know that I could really, like, I mean, like, March, I guess, if I had to put a
new therapist, new, well,
time
new
on it. I mean, I did, I got a new therapist last year. I started going to a somatic therapist, which I highly recommend.
What's that?
So a somatic therapist does things like breath work, body work, physical kinds of, not physical therapy, but like
how your body, how's your hypnosis. Body being, how are you holding your body?
So the way that we work is like, we'll talk for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And then, my earwax pushed my headphone out.
It's exactly the way I do my podcast. Oh, hold on one second.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so March somatic therapy.
Yeah, and like hypnosis, all those kinds of things.
Cool. So it's you're closing your eyes and your therapist is...
We talk for 45 minutes like normal therapy.
Uh-huh.
And it's talk therapy. Her approach to talk therapy is much different than most therapists that I've had, which is just like, I literally mean her approach to it. It's very relaxed and very... it's just not as intellectual.
Yes.
As other therapy has been.
Yes.
It's much more emotional, and it's, and she will check in and be like, what are you feeling right now? You know, like what's your body telling you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's literally what the therapy is, like actually getting me into my body and
out of my head.
I feel
like maybe my therapist is doing that.
Probably.
A bootleg version.
Sure. A bootleg. So that when we talk and then at the end of the last half hour, 45 minutes, we will do either like just like body work, which is very like simple. It's not massage therapy or anything. It's literally just like somebody, like my therapist, like holding my body from underneath and like processing the feelings and stuff.
Oh wow.
It's
that
pretty
feels great.
Like breath work.
I think
hypnosis.
I've said it on this podcast before and I'll say it again. I think we all want to be babies. You want to be helped. Yeah,
I mean, it's going back and like tending to the places that weren't tended to or that we felt we had to protect.
Yes.
As survival, you know?
And when you said that your parents divorced, do you feel like there was something in you that was like, I can't feel anything about this growing up?
Or? I mean, that was definitely part of it. But I think the deeper thing is that I just felt like there was something I was doing wrong, which is probably what wakes me up every night, you know? That, like there was something I could be doing differently or something. You know, I just like, they're sort of, because they have never really like reconciled.
Yes.
You know? And I say this
when you say
openly,
reconciled, you mean
they're not,
they don't talk.
They do not talk to each other.
Wow.
They don't, like, moving to Los Angeles was such a wild experience for me to see so many like co-parents that I was just like,
you moved from where?
I moved here from Chicago.
Okay.
And like that just wasn't, it's not that that isn't in Chicago. It's definitely in Chicago. It just
now
wasn't
you're an adult
at the time.
And you're watching
Midwest
people parent
and, yeah.
a kid that like you can see yourself.
Like they're not together.
Yeah.
Whether they're divorced or just
oh,
not together.
Yeah.
Like co-parenting.
Yes.
And going like, wow, I had no idea. And not everybody's like happy about it. It's not like they're doing it and being like, I love this. Mm-hmm. It's just that like they are doing it. You
yeah.
know. And I don't say any, like I love each of my parents. I
yes.
love my parents. The fact that
yeah,
I'm
in
saying,
hindsight and also just living in a time and a space culturally where
yeah.
it's like you coming over today and us immediately talking about therapy, that would be like such a stretch for so many
yeah.
people. But
neither
for us, it's
of
like,
them I don't think have ever
like,
done
oh, yeah,
it.
Cool. Yeah. That's,
and I don't hold that against, you know,
it's like exercise.
Like,
it's like, oh yeah, what do you do?
Sure.
This is what, and you're talking about your kind of therapy and it's that, and that, I mean, as we were talking, I also was like just conscious of someone listening to this who doesn't have a relationship to therapy outside of like movies or something.
Sure. Yeah.
And thinking like, well, these fucking queer Hollywood,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But it's the ability to be vulnerable and actually mm-hmm. connect with the subconscious things that are affecting you.
Oh yeah.
So being in LA where people are more in tune with what the psychological effects of not,
sure.
co-parenting or doing
yeah.
things maybe the way that your parents did, where I would imagine like if you couldn't really talk about one experience with the other, that would be pretty traumatic.
Well,
if, like,
I think
bringing
actually
up your
for
father's
me,
name
that
with
was
your
like
mom,
the problem is that I did talk and it was just like the whole thing was very triangulated.
You
I
were just like stuck in a
I
nightmare.
I was like triangulated in a real and yeah, like I don't I think that everything worked out perfectly.
Yes.
I'm saying all this because I feel okay with everything, you know, okay. I'm not like, yeah, everything's great, but that just is what it is, you know, and everything led me to be sitting here in your living room with
yes.
you on this podcast.
Yes.
So like everything's good.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just like being in between two people who were suffering,
uh-huh.
you know, and then, and sort of becoming not by their force of the thing,
mm-hmm.
but just by the nature of like, that's what my brain picked to survive, to use to survive it, was like becoming a divining rod for those like emotions and that suffering and that pain. And then closing off like my softness and vulnerability to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many like survival methods.
Wow.
Because I was an only child too, you know?
Yeah.
And
so now
I didn't
you're
have,
like
another buddy.
Yeah.
And who knows? Like I say that. And the reality is like, okay, create like a different timeline where I have a sibling.
Who knows?
That sibling
that,
goes,
yeah.
I hate you. And we
yeah.
never talk to each other. So it doesn't, it,
yeah.
it wouldn't magically fix it. It's just
no,
that
everything
I
is
was
perfectly
an only
the
child.
Way it is and
yeah.
everything is fucked up.
So it's like a particular type of lonely, you know, just
mm-hmm.
like aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
That like, you know, this is why we're comedians and creative people
mm-hmm.
and like actors and shit. Because I have, like, I can walk into a room and create a story in 2 seconds, but
yeah.
I lived my life off of that story, and that story was never right. You know what I mean? Like, you walk into a room, you create a story with cynicism and skepticism
yes.
and fear.
Yes.
You're creating a story about every person that you haven't even interacted with yet.
Hmm.
That person hates me. That person hates me. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know about that guy. You know, everything, nothing is like, huh, wow, look at this room. You know, it's the second
It's not
one.
Like anything could happen, which is where you're at now. It's
yeah.
more sort of like bullshit will happen.
Bullshit has already happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring it in here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put up a big wall around me at this party. And I'm going to bet that everything's going to go wrong. Like, I almost, my dog and I almost got ran over today. Like, we were in the crosswalk, and it was just a moment of, like, the person turning. I mean, they were doing one of those dangerous left turns where they were cutting it into the oncoming lane, you know? Like, just driving too fast. And it happened so quickly, it took me a second to realize what was happening. He was out in front of me, so, like, it was very close. And I just went, like, hey, like that, because I realized he didn't see it. He stopped, and he was, like, very apologetic.
Yes.
And I didn't get angry.
Yeah.
And, like, a year ago, I would have been, like, middle fingers up, like, banging on his window and be like, slow down, like, you know, giving him this lesson or whatever. And I just went, you go ahead, because he was already through the intersection. I was like, you go ahead. And just, like, instead of spinning out on, like, that, I just was like, all right, bud, let's get home. We got to go home. You know,
well, it's interesting because the first reaction.
And then later I almost hit somebody. Like, I was in a four-way stop, and I stopped, and I had stopped. I wasn't even going fast, but he was right exactly in that forward-viewing blind spot or spot you can't see through where the front of the car comes down, like, right where your mirror is. As I came to that side, he was right. So when I checked to my left, he was in a place where I could not see him. And I stopped and I was like, I should just let this person go. I think they got there ahead of me. And because I thought of that instead of, I want to get through this, it's my turn. Instead of having that thought, I thought, maybe I should just let them go. They went and that guy walked in front of my car. And I was like, I would have hit that dude. If I would have gone like, no, me first. Me, me. This is how it works. Everybody's wrong. Nobody knows how to drive here. Me. Yeah. I got here first. Like, instead of doing that and just thinking for a second, I wonder if I just let that person go. If that's oh, there's a human being in front of my car.
Nice.
That I didn't know was there. And it's like those tiny little things that if you're skeptical and cynical and afraid, you don't see those things.
Well, also those things, the skeptic or the cynic or the me is kind of, I think, an effort to have some control. But the interesting thing is, in both of those situations, it's like you had the ultimate control. You didn't run.
Well, I had
over.
No control.
Well, you had the ultimate, but you had like it's way more. What I'm saying is, like,
because
it's so
I
much more graceful.
Go.
Yeah. You're just in, like...
I mean that I don't have control because I said, I wonder if...
Mm-hmm.
And I put it off into whatever you want to call it. The universe, power greater than yourself, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Instead of going, like, I know. I went, I wonder. And, like, opening that channel is letting go of control.
Oh, my God. We need to hit that lesson sound effect now. We got to. We
it
gotta
truly,
hit
but,
it.
I mean, that's it's like having
lessons.
Trying to have control is a survival mechanism. You know, it is. So anybody that's doing that isn't doing it because they're a piece of shit. They're doing it because they're scared and very afraid. You know, and like, but you can't control anything. There's kind of nothing you can really control.
No. Nothing.
There's kind of nothing. And there's that sounds like nihilism to some people, but
well,
it's actually
not.
It's
actually
like
passed away like a month ago in like such a sad, non-control-y way that has made me, I mean, like I think about it every day, but my friend Vanessa was driving with her two kids outside of Santa Barbara and someone that wanted to kill themselves just drove straight into her and they all died.
Oh,
her fresh baby,
God.
5-month-old and like a 2-year-old. She's such a beautiful person. And it's like, I was sitting at a table. I had just gotten off stage in Boston. It was this really fun show, this Together Live show. And and like people, you know, like the feeling after a show and people are coming up to me. And I'd read the text about it right before meeting all these people. And I felt like a sociopath because it was like,
sure,
I'm here. And I'm like, yes, the show. But then you receive this news.
Right.
Anyway, after that, I was talking to... Jennifer, who runs it, and she was like just talking about the lack of control in these things and just like the importance of living every day, knowing it could be your last, you know, like I mean it feels like you're speaking in platitudes, but it's like she had a friend.
They're around for a reason.
Yeah,
that's what I've found about platitudes, is like it's true.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah,
people keep saying these things for hundreds of years because they're true.
Yes.
You know?
yeah
the reality of it.
She knew someone that had this part of the podcast is called Nightmares.
Sure.
She had a friend who had rented a house and like with like a bunch of family, and then like they went for a walk and the plane had crashed into the house. And it's like, what do you do with that information?
And there were people still in the house?
Yeah, people, like everybody except for them died because they took a walk with, I think, their daughter.
Oh,
it was just like,
God.
Just like these nightmare things that happen. Are you a, it sounds like you're a fear, you're like a scaredy cat like me a little bit? Like a bit of scared?
No. I was.
But you woke up, but the wake ups are from.
That is very, very, very old. It's like very deep.
Okay.
It's, I am not a person who goes to bed that's like, somebody's going to break in here. Like I don't. My waking hours mm-hmm. are not filled with that.
Okay.
Actually.
I mean, I guess like I'm working on it as well, but I'm like someone who like if someone says they're coming over, mm-hmm. like if you didn't come over till like we said we were meeting at 3,
yep.
if you didn't come over till like 3:15 or 3:30, I'd be like, okay, well, they're dead.
Sure.
You know, like
yeah,
that's
right.
the first thing.
No,
it's
I
just
don't,
troubleshooting.
I don't suffer from that.
Okay. I think that comes from, for sure, like my family all thinks that way. And Shauna's family doesn't. And so that's been good to, you know,
sure.
spend my life with someone who is not thinking that way.
Not thinking that,
and
yeah.
And like not putting themselves through
that
yeah.
trauma every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, I used to spin out on many things. I mean, I was spinning out on a text message where I was like, I felt as though I didn't respond in a way that was what the other person was needing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I went back, I read it, and I was like, going like, oh no, I did it again, you know, or like getting into this like fear judgment thing. And
yeah.
I just, in that moment, I was like, okay, how about we put that down
mm-hmm.
and we just like meditate. You don't have to do anything. So you can even leave this, like, you can leave this music on.
Yeah.
Like, we can, let's just open and do the thing, like, at the four-way stop.
Yeah.
Where you go, like, okay. And you don't, like, get mad at yourself for having those feelings or anything. I just go, like, okay. And, like, literally think about love, vulnerability, those things. Like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just those words.
Yeah.
Visualizing those things, whatever it is. And then that person texted me, and nothing was wrong.
Oh my God, yeah, that happens so much.
Nothing was wrong.
It's about doing this instead of this.
Hand strike, standing by.
Cowboy could totally hear that in my earpiece, which is real fun.
I think that pausing is number one lesson.
It's huge.
Pausing.
And that's
sure.
what meditation can give you, is
yeah.
pause. Because I wasn't meditating for like a couple days, maybe even a week. And I can see the effects of it very quickly, very,
mm-hmm.
very quickly, where like lack of vulnerability, hardening, and like just speeding through things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to say that I get out ahead of my skis a lot.
Yeah.
Like I literally physically walk that way if I'm not,
what do you mean?
If I'm not aware of it. And like this physical therapy that I'm doing on my shoulders, part of it too. But I have this. So like I started putting my shoulders in as like a fear response as a kid.
Okay.
Either from these like traumatic experiences really early on, or I think also then later in middle school, like when I started getting breasts because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't want people to see them
mm-hmm.
and like just all of it just like caved in on myself. So I have this like my shoulders rotated in, and I actually wasn't using my shoulder blade. I was using these muscles on the top of my shoulder
so
to lift
tension.
My arm. And so, like, it got to a point where I couldn't turn my head all the way. So now I'm going to physical therapy to use my shoulder again.
Whoa.
And it hurts so bad because I'm, like, using muscles I haven't used in 8
Whoa.
Years. But I say all that because then I had, like, it just caused bad posture. But I literally will walk, like, with my torso forward like this. Like, I'll catch myself sometimes, like, just barreling through.
Hmm.
And, like, so I will do that in small moments of just, like, just powering through my life instead of like mindfully, like I'll be eating shoveling food in my face. It's like I don't know why I'm going so fast, I just do. And so like
I can relate to that.
Yeah, like
but
on
like
Thanksgiving
I think,
I was shoveling
like,
food
was
in my
your family that way? Like my family, like we would know what we were ordering at the restaurant
mm-hmm.
before we got to the restaurant, because the point was to get the food, to eat the food, and then
yeah.
get the bill. And it was just like, and it
yeah.
was like we didn't have any plans, but
it was just like
yeah. like just sitting and enjoying it was like the retro form of gay. It was like, we're not sitting here and just chatting. We're here to eat.
Are we supposed to love this?
Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, I didn't have like my hangouts with my family was so one-on-one, you know, which is very interesting. My dad is very like that. Like he would just be like, Pat, like get it done, get it, this thing, this, you know. So I think I picked up some of that. And I think my mom's that way too.
Do they, either of them, see anybody? Have they ever seen anybody else? Like
in a dating?
Like
a little bit.
Oh my gosh, maybe really. They're in love with each other.
I don't think that's what it is.
But they've held on to this. They were together for 3 years.
But that's not it. That's not what it is. They're not hold. It's not. That's not what it is. Sabrina.
I'm a Brit.
I mean, I like that your brain is like going to a romantic comedy. Like, trust me. Trust me.
Also, you've done all this work, and I'm like, you're
a parent. I've thought through every version of the Parent Trap ever, and that's not what it is.
That one, the stupid police on my behalf. I just think, isn't love hate? Or hate, love, all the, there's like the full,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that each of them has gotten to a place with it that they feel okay. And like, for I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is like, it's also learning as an adult, because I think a lot of people could be skeptical of these kinds of conversations is like, grow up. It's like, dude, I am. That's literally
that's what I'm doing right now.
That's literally what I'm doing. And like, I
also, if you're thinking that, what I want to tell you is like, you're running away from some problems and you're not using some muscles and you're just not thinking about it. Okay.
Yeah,
and one day you're
going to
wake up and you're going to be so disconnected from the things that you're doing and you're going to say, wow, I got to listen to that podcast again because those bitches and hoes, and you're not a bitch or a hoe. You're
not technically. No,
you're technically.
So what's a non-binary hoe? I don't really know. Like an actual, like a gardening hoe.
Studley-ho?
All right, I'll take it.
I'll
take it.
You started using the pronoun they.
Yep, they, them, theirs.
But how long ago?
I don't know. A couple months ago. It feels like years.
Cool.
I don't know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's.
How's it been?
Oh my God, it's great. I'll say that it's great. It's difficult, but it's not like I say difficult because it's just it's literally talking about it every day.
Explaining it.
Yeah. And like, sometimes I just let it pass. The thing is, like, what it is teaching me is like internal judgment. Not, and I don't mean like I'm judging this. Like when do I tell somebody where, when are the times?
And like, certainly for someone who's speeding through life, it's building in like an automatic speed bump of patience.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have to keep on saying like, well.
And I'm learning new ways of saying it. Like, because sometimes people, you know, I'll try to wait for the most opportune moment when I would feel the most comfortable being approached. You know, like one time I wanted to talk to a director about it and I was like, I'm going to wait till they're behind the monitors, not in front of the whole crew, you know, like,
yeah.
And then
making it easy on everyone,
you know, and oftentimes the first response can be like, well, I don't know. And it's very defensive thing.
Yes.
And what I learned in that experience was I often tell people, especially like at work, if I'm on like a set or something like that, it's like, I wouldn't be correcting you if you weren't important to me.
Which is great.
Because I don't think people realize that's why.
Yeah.
And like, I hesitate to use the word correcting because oftentimes people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and like they just refer to me as she because, okay.
Yeah.
And like, I get that. You didn't know. It's like somebody not knowing how to pronounce my name. You know, people ask me, how is it Rhea or Rhea all the time? And I'm like, it's Rhea. Thanks for asking. And like, that's literally the same as pronouns.
Yes.
It's literally just a name.
Yeah,
that we
I
all
think,
have for
and
each
I,
other.
I also think that there's such a, I talked about this with Freckle, who's, Freckle would say she's gender non-conforming. And, but there's this perception that people get, that people are so angry and they're like, it's they, or like, it's she, it's he. And it's like, that's not actually people that
Most
have got
people
that
yeah.
have gone through the forest and figured out exactly figured out, especially when it's genderqueer. It's not the thing that you would assume based on genitalia that like,
or hair
that they've done the most work on it and they will be, you know, they were sort of mis misgendered and dealt with it for a long time. So they'll be the first person to be able to have that conversation. Sure, you have to have it constantly, but it's such a value to, I don't know. I talked about it last episode, but that joke that Louis C.K. did a joke about how like
identify as a location.
Can I say
it's a great joke if I got to tell it.
Sure. You get to tell it, but also it plays
the way
upon
he says it. The fact that, because it's funny. I think that's funny.
Will Rhea start doing Louis C.K. material? And what is Sabrina Jalisa's take on Linda Tripp?
Linda Tripp, you suck.
Rhea says this.
Letting things go and giving them away is how you keep them.
And this.
It's just a very comfortable podcast, you know.
And both Rhea and Sabrina say this.
Hatred? That's not for me.
That's not for me. That's for somebody else.
Tune in on Tuesday. I love you.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.